Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
Tonight, the new COVID variant said to be spreading rapidly in New York City, mounting concerns about the new strain and your vaccine protection. It comes with the U.S. potentially on the brink of authorizing a third vaccine as soon as this weekend. President Biden marking a milestone, 50 million vaccinations since he took office. And should you try to choose which vaccine you get, we'll tell you what the experts are saying. And my exclusive conversation with Pfizer CEO, why the company is testing the effects of a third dose of its vaccine, and could you need a shot every year? Our exclusive Inside the Tiger Woods Rescue, the captain who led the team that extracted Woods from the wreckage, the tools they used, what he told them, and how he was able to assist in his own rescue. The former U.S. Olympics gymnastics coach taking his own life hours after being charged with sex crimes. The new report on the murder of Jamal Khashoggi, what it says about the involvement of the Saudi crown prince. Former President Trump ready to make his first appearance since leaving D.C., his message to Republicans. And caught on camera, the third floor apartment on fire, the mother throwing her four children out the window to safety below.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
Good evening. We can't lose sight of the fact that COVID is still spreading and still killing in this country. But nor can we ignore reasons for increased optimism tonight. An outside advisory panel set to review Johnson & Johnson's entry into the vaccine war chest. Also, the number of Americans who have received at least one vaccine shot has now climbed to over 46 million. The needle slowly moving in the right direction as health officials continue to assess the risk of virus variants. Tonight, we have my exclusive interview with the CEO of Pfizer about how they're trying to keep pace with the variants, why a third shot may be necessary, and where studies on vaccinating children stand right now. It's a wide-ranging conversation, which we'll get to in a moment. But first up tonight, Tom Costello and the big push to get folks to roll up their sleeves.
With the countdown to a third vaccine now down to a matter of hours, an all-out urgent push to reach underserved communities. Vice President Harris at a pharmacy in Southeast D.C. today.
And you're also going out to community and administering vaccines there as well.
While in Massachusetts.
Initially, I was apprehensive. I mean, being an African American, I was apprehensive.
National Guard troops are on the COVID front lines.
It makes so much sense for all of us to make sure that we're vaccinating people in places where the virus is most active.
As the COVID-19 vaccines become available, you might be asking yourself, should I get it?
Tonight, one of the biggest public education efforts in history is underway in collaboration with the CDC.
The vaccines are safe and effective. They're going to save lives.
Tomorrow, the FDA's outside advisory panel will review Johnson & Johnson's vaccine. Emergency authorization could come by the weekend, with 4 million doses shipping almost immediately. While the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines are somewhat more effective at preventing illness, the J&J shot is 100% effective at keeping people alive and out of the hospital.
When you have a company like J&J, Janssen, that has a very good track record with pharmaceuticals, to have them come in and be in the mix with the other two is nothing but good news.
J&J's vaccine requires just one shot, can be kept in a normal fridge, and appears to be effective against new virus variants. But vaccine executives say Americans should not be choosy.
Take what you can get when you can get it. Any vaccine is better than no vaccine, particularly if it's been reviewed by the FDA and recommended by the CDC.
And you, as the president of Moderna, are making that very clear.
Absolutely. Without hesitation.
And Tom is at the NIH right now. Tom, there's some pushback, I know, on how serious a potential new variant is in New York.
Yeah, health officials say there's been really an overreaction to normal discussions in laboratories. And in fact, it's premature to say whether that New York variant poses a greater risk to humans. Lester.
All right, Tom Costello tonight. Pfizer and its partner BioNTech are taking steps this evening to keep their COVID vaccine at pace with new variants of the virus, which could mean the need for annual revaccinations. I spoke about it exclusively with Pfizer CEO Albert Bourla. If someone has had two doses of your vaccine, do you consider them fully protected against any variant that we're currently aware of?
For what we know so far, we haven't seen any indication that the current vaccinated people with the two doses are not protected compared to the South African or the Brazilian or the UK variant. Now, we have confirmations that they are protected for the UK variants, and we have data that are suggesting that they are protected against the South African and the Brazilian virus.
Pfizer announcing today an extension of their trial to test a booster, potentially an annual third dose of their vaccine, to fight new variants. Do you think it'll be more effective, last longer?
We believe that the third dose at 6 months of the first, which is what we're going to try right now, will raise the antibody response to 10 to 20 folds what it is right now. That will be significant response to likely overcome all this resistance of what we know so far. Also, I want to emphasize, Lester, that this is a two-dose vaccine for the initial initiation of the schedule.
Is your expectation that this will turn into a routine three-dose vaccine?
A likely scenario is that we will not have a three-dose vaccine. We will have an annual revaccination, likely with one dose of the vaccine.
The company also announcing today it's working with regulators on potential changes to its vaccine that could make it easily adaptable to future variants. How long from the time you discover a new variant could you tweak your current vaccine to make it effective?
Lester, our goal it is to be able to do it in less than 100 days.
And what about the findings of a recent Israeli study showing substantial immune response after just one dose of the Pfizer vaccine?
I believe the data were in much younger population, so you expect to have much higher level of protections when the population is younger.
So it's too much of a risk right now to try and rely on one dose?
It's very high risk, I think. No data about it.
People get these vaccinations with obviously the hope that they won't die from this disease and they won't get horribly sick, but they also want a sense of freedom. And right now we're being told you got to still wear the mask because of the possibility you could still infect others. What do the data show you? Is it likely that you could still infect others even after two doses?
Again, it's something that needs to be confirmed. And the real-world data that we are getting from Israel and other studies will help us understand this better. But there are a lot of indications right now that are telling us that there is a protection against transmission of the disease.
Bourla says studies are underway with pregnant women, and so far they have not seen any issues. And he says they are optimistic about their pediatric COVID-19 vaccine trials. How soon might we see vaccinations for younger children?
We have already licensed in the kids 16 and above. We are already doing trials for kids between 12 years old all the way to 16. And I hope that we will be able to have data in a couple of months. We are also planning to initiate pediatric studies from younger ages, from 5 all the way to 11. And I believe that we should have data about this population by the end of the year.
And the question on all our minds. Currently with the two-dose vaccine, how long does that extend protection going forward?
We don't know now, Lester, because we have data only for 6 months. At 6 months, the protection is robust. We need to wait and measure in 1 year to see if that remains for the full year.
Late today, the FDA gave the okay for Pfizer vaccines to be shipped and stored at conventional cold temperatures for up to 2 weeks. The company says it has determined ultra-cold freezer storage is not necessary. And by the way, you can watch more of my interview by going to our Facebook page. We've got some breaking news right now that the U.S. military has just carried out an airstrike in Syria. Kristen Welker now with the very latest from the White House.
Late tonight, the Pentagon announcing U.S. military forces carried out airstrikes in eastern Syria against Iranian-backed militant groups at the direction of President Biden. The Pentagon says the strike destroyed multiple facilities at a border control checkpoint used by those groups. The Pentagon calls it, quote, a proportionate military response after the U.S. says those groups fired rockets near U.S. troops inside the Green Zone, adding, quote, President Biden will act to protect American coalition personnel. Meanwhile, the president earlier today marking the 50 millionth vaccine dose in the U.S.
This is not a time to relax.
With House Democrats set to pass another COVID relief package tomorrow, Republicans blasting the $1.9 trillion price tag.
Less than 9% of this bill goes to defeating this virus. Less than 9%.
It comes as former President Trump is about to grab headlines at the CPAC conference on Sunday, expected to take aim at President Biden for reversing some of his immigration policies and will likely point to the uptick in migrants at the border.
How is the administration planning to respond?
Well, we're not looking to former President Trump or any of his advisors as a model for how we're approaching immigration.
Former President Trump will speak at CPAC on Sunday. Kristen Welker, NBC News, The White House.
In just 60 seconds, a former U.S. Olympics gymnastic coach takes his own life after being charged with sexual assault.
The UN Refugee Agency, or UNHCR, responds to emergencies and provides long-term solutions for refugees. They provide aid in over 130 countries, including Ukraine, Syria, Afghanistan, and Sudan, where people are forced to flee from war and persecution at their greatest moment of need. UNHCR helps and protects refugees by providing food, shelter, medical care, and other life-saving essentials. The agency jumpstarts relief in three key ways. They transport core relief items stored in even the most remote areas of the world. They deploy expert emergency staff trained to help in crisis situations. And they transfer funds directly to support the emergency. Because of generous supporters and donors, UNHCR can scale up its response within 72 hours of a large-scale emergency. Your support helps provide life-saving aid for refugees whenever and wherever emergencies occur. Donate to USA for UNHCR by visiting unrefugees.org/donation.
We're learning more this evening about that terrible car crash involving golf legend Tiger Woods and the effort by rescuers to save him. Here's Miguel Almaguer.
We learned that the driver of this vehicle identified as Tiger Woods.
When rescue teams arrived at the wreckage, Tiger Woods was pinned, bleeding, his legs entangled in the mangled metal. The 45-year-old golfing legend in searing pain.
I knew he was in pain. We all knew he was in pain. He voiced it. We had multiple people in there talking to him saying, hey, Tiger, it's going to be okay. We're going to get you out of here. Just relax.
L.A. County Fire Captain Jean Barrett knows every minute matters. Her team of 10 executing her extraction plan.
We call these the irons.
Using this axe and crowbar, the team smashed open the windshield and pried Woods out from the crumbled carriage, still mostly intact.
The steering wheel wasn't where it used to be. It had been pushed way up into the seat and onto his lap.
So he was essentially pinned.
He was essentially pinned. He was able to wiggle himself. By the time we were able to get in there and talk to him, he was able to have wiggled his legs out from under the steering wheel, but he was still entangled. He could not get himself out on his own.
It took 12 minutes to rescue Woods, whose shattered right leg, now held together by a rod, screws, and pins, could have been amputated had help come later.
He wanted out. He was going to do anything he could to help us get him out of the car. So he was actually moving his arms, and he was helping us get him out.
Even with those broken legs?
Yes.
Woods has no recollection of the accident, according to investigators, and there is no sign at the scene he tried to break. The SUV's black box, like this one, could contain critical data points like speed, braking, lane drifting, driver attentiveness, and even eye movement. Tonight, the crash clues and the harrowing rescue.
We did everything the way we were supposed to do it. Everybody stayed in their lane, did their job, and it just happened to be a celebrity.
Tonight, Tiger Woods has been moved to Cedars-Sinai Hospital, where he will continue his recovery. That fire captain says it's a miracle he's still alive, considering all the damage to his vehicle. Lester?
Yeah, real team effort there. Miguel, thank you. A former U.S. Olympic gymnastics coach died today by suicide, hours after authorities charged him with sexual assault, human trafficking, and other crimes. Ann Thompson has late details.
John Getter, head coach of the gold medal U.S. women's gymnastics team at the London Olympics, was supposed to be arraigned in a Michigan courtroom this afternoon. The 63-year-old never showed to face 24 criminal counts, including lying to police about his friend and former trainer, convicted sex offender Larry Nassar. Gettert's body was found this afternoon after taking his own life, said Michigan's attorney general, calling the discovery a tragic end to a tragic story for everyone involved. Just hours earlier, the attorney general announced she was charging Gettert with human trafficking, sexual assault, racketeering, and lying, all connected to his years as an elite gymnastics coach in the Lansing area.
We hope that these charges will bring some measure of justice to some of the harm that was inflicted.
I interviewed Sarah Klein before news of Gettert's death. She says she was abused by Nassar starting at age 8 while practicing at Gettert's gym. She insists Gettert had to know what was going on.
He saw a small child alone, naked, with a grown man, time after time after time.
Did he ever ask you about that, what was going on in that back room?
Never. Never, not one time. He did not want to know.
Gettert, in the past, insisted he had zero knowledge of Nassar's crimes, crimes that damaged so many of the young girls and women he coached. Nassar is now in prison, sentenced to serve more than 100 years. Ann Thompson, NBC News.
The Biden administration is releasing an intelligence report that concludes the ruler of Saudi Arabia approved the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Andrea Mitchell has late details. Andrea, what are you hearing?
Lester, tonight's call between President Biden and the Saudi king sets the stage for the release of the U.S. intelligence report that the king's son, Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, approved the brutal murder of Saudi dissident Jamal Khashoggi in 2018, a report former President Trump would not release. The White House says President Biden did affirm the U.S. commitment to human rights on the call. Now the issue is, how will the president punish the Saudis after saying in the campaign he would make them a pariah for the murder?
Andrea Mitchell, thank you. Tomorrow, President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden will travel to Texas, where millions are still struggling after that devastating storm and power disaster. Our Morgan Chesky is there tonight.
Tonight, the storm far from over for too many Texas families.
No water.
In Fort Worth, Jonathan and Jasmine Stoughton got their power back.
This is so heavy, by the way.
But are still waiting on water.
It's probably 30 pounds.
So I go to the pool, fill up a bucket of water, and do that, you know, two or three times a day.
Every day?
Every day.
For how long?
For the last 10 days.
Today at the state capitol in Austin.
I can't tell you how bad I feel about what happened to people.
Energy providers apologizing, and the ERCOT board facing lawmakers for the first time. Right. The CEO saying he would not have done anything differently.
I'd say it worked from keeping us going into a blackout that we'd still be in today. That's why we did it. Now, it didn't work for people's lives, but it worked to preserve the integrity of the system.
Lives still in limbo. In Houston, Andrew Mitchell lending a helping hand. The plumber making a 22-hour drive from New Jersey to help many Texas families struggling to find supplies.
But one thing that I want to focus on is giving back to my community.
A Jersey neighbor offering some Texas-sized kindness. Morgan Chesky, NBC News, Fort Worth.
All right, we're back now and have to show you this remarkable rescue. A mother dropping her four children from a burning building in Istanbul, Turkey. Here's Keir Simmons.
The dramatic moments captured on cell phone video. A building on fire Wednesday in Istanbul, Turkey, as a mother drops her four children out of the window, one by one. Volunteers below, incredibly, catching each of them in blankets. Amazingly, officials say none of the children were injured. Tonight, they are healthy, in good condition, they say, thanks to a quick-thinking mom who was later rescued and courageous people on the street. The fire was later put out. Keir Simmons, NBC News.
Absolutely incredible. All right, we're back now and have to show you this remarkable rescue. A mother dropping her four children from a burning building in Istanbul, Turkey. Here's Keir Simmons.
The dramatic moments captured on cell phone video. A building on fire Wednesday in Istanbul, Turkey, as a mother drops her four children out of the window, one by one. Volunteers below, incredibly, catching each of them in blankets. Amazingly, officials say none of the children were injured. Tonight, they are healthy, in good condition, they say, thanks to a quick-thinking mom who was later rescued and courageous people on the street. The fire was later put out. Keir Simmons, NBC News.
A mystery in the sky. An American Airlines pilot reporting a close encounter with an unidentified long cylindrical object 37,000 feet over New Mexico. The FBI is investigating. Up next, a ballet superstar stepping up for a new generation. Finally, the trailblazing ballerina who set the stage for young hopefuls to follow in her footsteps. Blaine Alexander with tonight's Changemakers.
In the world of ballet, Misty Copeland is a queen, but breaking barriers was not easy.
Being taken out of casting because of the color of my skin, or being told to put white pancake or powder on your skin to make you fit in.
In 2015, she made history as the first Black woman principal dancer with American Ballet Theatre.
What was it like for you being the only one?
I just started to question whether or not this was even the field for me. So I was very fortunate that I had incredible women that were not dancers, but they were Black women. They all just kind of took me under their wing.
So when 23-year-old Erica Lal joined the company, Copeland paid it forward. Now the two are like sisters.
I love her.
Oh, I love you too.
And a mutual support system.
When I got to ABT and Misty was performing, I had a direct example that I could look up to.
For both of them, growing up, the examples were few. Among them, Aisha Ashe, Raven Wilkinson, Lauren Anderson. And in many ways, ballet is still far behind. Erica says until recently, she permed her hair just to get that so-called perfect ballerina bun.
They were always saying, no frizzies, we don't want any curls, all the hair has to be slicked back. And then I finally was like, wait a second, I can do all of this with my naturally beautiful hair.
A step forward, but still a long way to go. Currently, of 84 dancers in ABT, only 7 are Black.
For the little girls who are watching this, what would you want to say to them?
To know that there is a support system there for you.
If you believe in yourself, you can make it.
Two dancers eager to give the next generation of ballerinas a standing ovation. Blaine Alexander, NBC News, Atlanta.
And that's nightly news for this Thursday. Thank you for watching, everyone. I'm Lester Holt. Please take care of yourself and each other. Good night.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.